Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's Angelina and the work crew on this beautiful 24th of August, episode 63. What a beautiful month it is for us women in South Africa, because we get to celebrate Women's Month. The entire month is Women's Month. Talk to us, beautiful air crew. What are your thoughts as you are going through this month of August as a woman in South Africa? Nelly?
Kingdom greetings to Gospel Grampian listeners. We are grateful that this is the month for women. We are celebrating great people that God created out of love. Thank God for that. Thank you.
How are you, Shanaz?
Good day to all the listeners and good day to the panel. It's such an honor to be here. Super excited to be sharing the word of God. And I know that as women, we are nurturers. God has blessed us with the ability to nurture, to grow, to make sure that we develop all that we touch. And I'm super excited to see the word of God and how we as women are able to develop this nurturing side of ours. Thank you so much.
Awesome. And how are you, my beautiful, beautiful co-worker and air crew member, Myrtle?
I am great. Hi, Gospel for Grampian listeners. I am so grateful to be here tonight by the grace of God. It's Women Month in South Africa, so we are super excited to tell you what we've got tonight for the kingdom of God.
Yes, I love what you all are saying for the kingdom of God. God wants every single human being on earth to be bride ready for Jesus. And as women of influence, our role in Women of Africa Care on Air is to ensure that young girls and women are bride ready. We always talk about women topics and empowerment for women and youth, because that is the heart of what we do, to empower women and to empower youth to be the best version of themselves. And that is really what bride ready is, being and living in that place of fulfillment that God designed us to fulfill. As women in this current day and age, there's so much of things that are happening around us influencing what we want and what we need. Today, we are going to be talking about what women want, whether you live in America, South Africa, Australia, or any part of the earth. Women are womankind, and we all have the same image of God and the needs as women. That's why we called womankind. We are going to talk about what women want and what women need. Before the crew starts chatting around their revelation of needs and wants, I just want to look at the Maslow hierarchy of needs and what the general definition of wants and needs are out there. When we look at women needs, or needs in general, human needs are needs that are compulsory for survival, meaning if we don't have it, we won't survive. As an example, food, clothing, and shelter. If we don't have those needs met, we will not survive. If we don't have food, we starve from death. If we don't have adequate food, we become malnourished and we eventually get sick and we die. If we don't have shelter, we become homeless. We become insecure. We end up getting sick out there. We have poor development, a poor environment, and we are prone to danger when you don't have a home or a shelter. And then if you don't have clothing, you are naked. And that affects you. It affects your social need for survival. That is the need. We need food, we need clothing, we need shelter. And if we don't have it, we are going to be affected physically. In terms of what is a want, wants are desires that even if we don't obtain it, we won't be destroyed. We won't have to live in survival mode because it is not a need. A want, if we don't have it, we still will. What women want, we want you to know, ladies, if you want something, Gospel for Grampian women, and you don't get it, you're not going to die, so don't go put a tantrum on and be manipulative. But if you have a need, which is a social need to make sure you're healthy and well and safe, and you don't have that met, then you are going to perish. Then you have the right to throw a tantrum because you're in trouble. It's going to affect your life. Let's look at Maslow hierarchy of needs. There's the psychological needs and there's the physical needs and there's the cultural needs. So in terms of the psychological needs, peace, love, and affection, that is psychological and that is cultural. And it's a need. God created us for love. God created us to live in peace. That's why Jesus said, I'm leaving my peace behind. And God created us to be affectionate with one another so that we can say we love. And love is an action. It's a touch. It's a feel. And when we don't have those psychological and cultural needs met, where we don't get to be with people, we don't experience peace, and we don't have the experience the love of one another, it affects us. And we become rejected, abandoned, insecure, chaotic. We have a battlefield in our soul and we can perish. There's psychological needs and there's social needs. And if we don't have that met, we're in trouble. With Shanaz, what in your view women want and women need?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. All of us love beautiful stuff. There's things that we want to adorn ourselves with. It's the want of those lavish jewelry, the lavish clothing items. When I think of the custom handbags and the custom shoes that we'd like to satisfy our wants with, those are all things that, as you explained, Angelina, it's not something that's going to kill us if I don't have this one met. But then in terms of my needs, I think as a woman, the thing that really stands out for me is our emotional well-being. It's that wanting to feel love, that acceptance, that ability to know that when I speak, others listen to me, that I feel financially independent for me. That's what they need to feel so that self-confidence can shine through. I want that intellectual stimulation. And also from a spiritual understanding of the spirit man, that their faith, they feel as a being holistically completed. Thank you, Angelina.
Myrtle, would you like to add on that?
You know, Angelina, in my life, I can clearly feel that I need God. A need is something that is necessary in your life to function. But a want is something that improves your quality of life. My biggest need is to have the Father, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in my life. That's my biggest need. And at my age, as you know, Angelina, I don't need anything but God.
What I'm hearing with Myrtle, as she ages, her needs change. And in this stage of her life, the material things are no longer relevant, even though it's a nice to have. But for her at her age, it's actually unnecessary. But the need to have God is the most critical. Whereas you might look at a younger girl or a younger woman and say, I'd like a little of both. What are your thoughts on that, Nelly?
It's true what Madeline is saying. There will be an age where you feel like now you understand life even more better. Because as women, the needs that we have and the wants that we have, if they are not in the will of God, we don't understand that they can put us in trouble, especially the needs. You know, you need things. At the end of the day, you will find out that those things, they are going to destroy you. You find that as women, we've got so many needs that we end up having spirit of competition against each other. As young couples, we want to do the best. As young couples, we want to drive the best car, live in the best suburb, do that. There's nothing wrong about having needs, but there's everything wrong about if those needs, they come before God. No, you just want to have these things. You don't sleep at night. You don't have time to pray. You don't have time to read the word of God. You are working hard so that you can have all the needs that you can have. And then at the end of the day, you stand up and start blessing God and say, He has provided me, while you worked yourself so hard and even forget God. But when you grow older, now you start to understand that everything is about the will of God for your life. understand the book of Matthew and say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. You understand that now needs are things that when God gives you, they're going to serve not only you, but people around you. They are going to serve your community. They are going to serve your family members. It's not about you. So it's very important to understand that God is not against our wants, but we need first to seek him. We need first to allow him, you know, to fulfill us. Because sometimes even the needs that we think that we need at that time, God doesn't want to give us for that time because he can see the danger that is coming. It's like when a small child just wants to eat at all time. You as a mother, you know that, no, this is enough. You can't eat. You are full. Otherwise, if you overeat, you're going to throw up. You're going to get sick. So even with God, sometimes you can say, I've got a need that I want to start my own family. You have to wait upon the Lord. He's the one that knows and understands our lives better than we do. But as we are growing up and becoming old, that's when we start to understand that. That is when we don't push God in everything that we need. You know, in all our needs, we don't just push him and say, Lord, I need it now, as if I'm going to die. We just depend totally upon him.
I'm sure you all that are on the panel discussion today can agree with me, or some of you can agree with me, that some of us learned late in life Matthew 6:33. And wow, if only we knew it earlier, life would have been very different. Right? Myrtle, as God's design, what does Scripture say about wants and needs?
Angelina, Luke 12:24-25 says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? If God can take care of the birds in the air, Angelina, the fish in the sea, the flowers of the field, feeding each of them out of the abundance of his love and goodness, is my life not more precious to God than the bird? You know, Gospel for Grampian listeners, I'm a widow for more than 19 years. And God feeds me daily, my needs daily, with his word of God's grace.
Thank you, beautiful Myrtle. Like she says, that when we keep our eyes on God, then we have our needs met. And he also gives us wants, because Myrtle lives a very lavish life. You see how she dresses. Her extravagance comes from the Lord. God wants us to live well, like he takes care of the birds of the air, and he covers the flowers and the beautiful grass. Shanaz, what are your thoughts of God's design in terms of our needs and wants?
I love how Myrtle just demonstrated that. I think many a times when we look at God's word, we think that he doesn't understand us, and yet we forget that he knows our frame, that he is our creator, and that without him, even our very needs will not be met. And in actual fact, our needs start within him. Like beautiful Nelly said, that we should seek first God's kingdom. And I just want to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. So the word here is telling us that our bodily needs and wants is all but temporary, but godliness is profitable for all things. So our perspective has to align with God's will. And many a times we take God's word and we reflect upon the word of God, but based on our perspective. And what I've come to realize and understand, that exactly as the ladies are saying, as we mature, as we get older, you actually come to realize that it's first the Lord, and that everything else will take its natural order. as Matthew says, seek first the kingdom of God. And many times when we are young, we think that within our own efforts, in our own ability, that when we make plans and we physically work, we mentally educate our minds, we emotionally take care of ourselves, that we will be taken care of. But it's actually the reverse, that we should seek first His kingdom. And all of this will be established in our lives. As it says, godliness is profitable. But at a young age, we don't seem to think of God's word and a relationship with Abba Father in that way. So I think that's really become so profound for me as well, ladies, that I actually now look at God's word through His perspective and not through my own. And I come to realize that I had the order wrong. Sometimes we're chasing what we believe is going to bring us into this completeness where we will find our absolute passion and joy. But we're laboring physically, and that is actually not profiting us. But godliness profits us. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
You know, Shanaz, what you are saying is the reason Friends Program came about. Just like everybody here on the panel, in my 20s, I focused on the Maslow hierarchy of needs, where I focused on the human needs, the basic needs from the shelter, the food, the clothing, the relationship, the physical touch, feel, etc. And once those ladder builders have been achieved, then you go to the next one, and actually God is only on the Maslow at probably your transcendence level, and which is like your eighth step. Everything else is physical. And when I went through my period of being reborn at the age of 32, and I went to Bible college and I was learning to develop a personal relationship with the Lord, I realized that the most foundational pillar of need is exactly what you're saying now, the spiritual development need. Matthew 6:33, and I have that as the foundation for my life, knowing God personally in my spirit. It transforms the way I think. It transforms my mind, my will, my emotions. And then I conform into that. And then every need thereafter, which is your food, your clothing, your shelter, your psychological needs, your affection, your need for affirmation, your need for acceptance, all is based on that critical foundation of having your identity and your spiritual need in God met. And like we all are saying today, because of us not having enough matriarch figures that could tell us this, we are only learning it now in our 50s and 60s. Gospel for Grampian listeners, that you don't have to learn that now. If you're a young woman, you're in your 20s, you're 18, whatever age, and you want to start off in success, the Maslow hierarchy needs is based on the physical and then bringing the transcendence, which is spiritual, at the eighth level. It will never work because one is so caught up with all the flesh, you can't even get anything of the spiritual at level eight, the transcendence. So very few people reach that. Very, very few. And if they do, they don't even reach it from a spiritual perspective with God. They end up doing meditation and yoga and idolatry to find that transcendence. They don't find it in God. Whereas when we walk the journey with Christianity and Jesus, He becomes the cornerstone. He becomes that foundation in our life. And we begin to build career, family, identity, purpose, and everything else from that spiritual foundation. And if we are Christians and we don't have Jesus as a foundation, whatever we do, like Nelly said, we will never find fulfillment. Please, we ask you, Gospel for Grampian listeners, listen to these women of experience that are on air today. We are all saying the same thing. God has to be the foundation of our basic need. Not food, not clothing, not shelter, not psychological needs, not affirmation, not love. Because if we look to humans to love us, then we're going to battle in terms of receiving the God kind of love from them. We need agape love. And therefore, and we love through agape love. If we allow human beings to be that psychological comfort, then we will always be rejected and abandoned and disappointed, because the Word of God says, man fails us, but God doesn't. But when the foundation with God is there, everything else will come from God's perspective, which is what we're saying. Nelly. in your life? What feeds your needs personally?
Thank you, Angelina. There's a scripture that I love. I wish I've practiced this scripture when I was still young. To the young listeners, I believe that this is what God is saying to you, that Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, when it says, let your will be done, the will of God. If we don't allow our will to die and let the will of God be the one that is going to rule us, that is why we're going to find ourselves not walking in the will of God. We're going to find ourselves having our own needs. But if your needs are the needs that are from God, they are not going to frustrate you. They are not going to you feel sometimes weak and feeling as if you are not moving on. As Angelina was explaining about needs that are physical, needs that are psychological, but the needs that we need to have, it must be needs that are from our Father. For me personally, my needs now are driven by the love that I have towards God, because every time I will ask Him, Father, what do you want me to do for you today? It's all about Him. Every day when I wake up in the morning, I greet the Holy Spirit. And after that, I say, what is it that you want me to do for you today? I start with Him, because it's no longer my needs that are important, but it's His needs first. And then I know that if I fulfill the needs of God, myself, I become fulfilled. And then after I'm fulfilled, I know that my Father comes and fulfills me. But if I'm going to want to be fulfilled first before God, I'm going to end up losing direction. Let's allow ourselves first, you know, to be used by God.
What I'm hearing from Nelly today, what feeds her needs is her relationship with the Lord and wanting to please the Lord, let your will be done and not mine. I love that. Gospel for Grampian listeners, by both these wonderful women, that their needs are fed by their love with God and for God, having your basic need in God and not anything else. Shanaz, a question for you. Is a want selfish?
I don't think all our wants are selfish. Some of it does allow us to share what we have with others as well. By way of example, if you're thinking of taking your family on a holiday, a vacation, that's going to benefit you, but your family as well. So not all wants are selfish. I think we should avoid becoming vain, where we're constantly chasing just what we want. Want can also be something that becomes a blessing to somebody else as well. It doesn't necessarily mean that a want can be pure vanity and self-seeking, but it definitely can benefit somebody else as well. You could, another example of a want is you setting up a soup kitchen. You don't currently have the financial needs, and you personally, nothing will happen to you. You will not perish if you don't set it up. But a want, so you establishing that soup kitchen will benefit the community. It's going to benefit the community, and it's going to benefit you sharing the love of God through being able to provide that daily cup of soup. So your want there doesn't mean it's a selfish desire that you have, and that it's all self-seeking and that it's all vanity, as God's word says. But it's seeking His will for your life, so that you can, even through your wants, be a blessing to others. And that's how I see a want as well. 2 Corinthians 9 verses 8, and it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. So those good works, which we can classify as a want, is benefiting a community. It's uplifting the community, and it's bringing glory to God. That's the most important when we look at ones in that perspective as well. Thank you, Angelina.
I'm thinking about a day where I got blessed with a handbag. Just never used it. I packed it away. And a colleague at work actually asked the Lord for a handbag, and I didn't know. And the one morning I got up for work and I just had this desire to go and take that handbag that I was blessed with, which I never touched, and to go and give it to this lady because the Holy Spirit said to me, bless her with that. And when I blessed her with that, Shanaz, her faith increased in God because she said, oh, I don't have a handbag. My handbags are in a mess. And I asked God for a handbag. Thank you so much for blessing me because I actually asked God for this. We look at the life of Solomon. He was blessed physically with a lot of material things. And God is saying, I don't want you not to have desires or wants that are beautiful, nice shoes, nice clothing, nice cars, nice houses. He said, eat the good of the land, enjoy the best of the land. But I love what Shanaz is saying. When it becomes covetous, then you are in trouble. And so we got to be careful because I'm thinking about what David said, Shanaz. He said, God, don't give me too much that I forget you. And don't give me too little that I despise you. Want can make us say, wow, God, you really love me. Thank you for that handbag. Or one can go, ah, God didn't give it to me. I worked it all on my own. It's all me, myself, and I. You've got to be careful on that, yeah? Nelly, how does our needs not met influence our lives?
If you've got needs and they are not met, they make you sometimes not to feel well. There's a temptation of not having that much faith in God. You become discouraged. You are even start to questioning yourself whether it's God listening to you or there is something that you have done that is not right. It puts so many questions in our minds. But actually, it's not supposed to be like that. If your needs are not met, you need to check yourself because I know for the fact that it's not God that is at fault, but it is because of us. Because the Bible tells us that we didn't receive because we have never asked. So even if we ask, it means we are asking amiss. So the problem, it becomes with us, but not with God. So our needs, when they are not met, yes, they've got a tendency of tainting the relationship that we have with God. We find ourselves now going around wanting even to ask other people why things are happening like this. I've been fasting, I've been praying, but it's like my needs are not met. You know, that's when you need to change the way you do things. As I said, you need to start asking God about his needs so that he can take care of your needs. There's a story that I love of Yong In Cho. He was giving his testimony when he started ministry that God took him to the remote village, remote. All people there, they were very, very poor. And we know, as we said, that the needs are about food, about shelter. He said they gave him, you know, a hut where he was staying in and, you know, in those villages. And those people, they didn't even have food. So he will go for some days without even eating anything. So he had to learn to do what? To fast, because his needs were not met. And he asked God, but God, why are you bringing me in this kind of a place and you are not meeting my needs? You see, you start questioning God in your prayer life. Why is this? You are the one who said, I must come here. But look, these people, they can't even give me a bread. They can't give me anything. I am hungry. That's when now he realized that as he continues to say, let me fast instead of complaining. He had to make sure that let him spend time with God instead of complaining about the need that is not met. That's when now his love for God grew. His fellowship with God grew. Today we know him as this great intercessor, a great man of God. Why? He started there where it looked like his needs are not met. But actually God was saying, seek me first, then you will see what I'll do. Thank you, Angelina.
I absolutely love this conversation and where it's going. That what we need, God knows best. And when we submit to what he knows we need, like you're saying, we begin to develop that personal relationship with the Lord that can never be traded. I mean, I think that is what he was trying to do in the wilderness, right? He was trying to teach them, let me give you what I know you need so that we can develop a relationship. but they didn't see it because they were so focused on the flesh and the covetousness attitude and the victimization mindset. Gospel for Grampian listeners, if you have a victimization mindset, if you operate in the Maslow hierarchy needs of basic human needs first and God last, you'll never have that wilderness experience that God had intended. Like Yonggi Cho experienced the relationship in the wilderness that God intended for all of us to go through. When we become born again, we all have to go through the Red Sea experience, letting go of the Egypt, the worldly mentality, going through the wilderness so that we can develop that personal relationship with the Lord. If we don't do that, then we end up becoming carnal Christians where we say we love God, but we still walk in the flesh and operate in the flesh. And then we don't want to take those faith opportunities that God wants to give us. We don't want to step out of the boat like Peter did, because of the fact that we didn't allow the wilderness process to take its course. We were moaning for meat when God was giving us fresh manna from heaven. I have a question for you, Shanaz. Is there an expiry date on needs and wants? And when do we get to the place where we are content?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. I think the scripture that really resonated here with me was the scripture that says we press on towards the goal to win the prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. So although we perhaps have our relationship with the Lord, we're constantly working on ourselves, because as humans we evolve and we're changing all the time. That means through the help of the Holy Spirit we allow God to work on us, mold us, shape us, because we're always constantly striving towards that prize of God's heavenly calling in Christ Jesus. So our needs, although it might be different through the various stages as we grow up, from the time that we are born, as we matured into youth, teenage years, young adult, and then becoming older, we basically, our needs does develop and change as human beings, but within Christ, we also allow the Holy Spirit to mold us into that image that Christ has created us to be. And I think from a one's perspective as well, again, the things that we might have considered at an earlier stage would change as we progress, become more matured, and also evolve in Christ Jesus. And I think this is what really resonated with me, that we must continually strive to the prize of the mark of our high calling. God wants us to develop our spiritual being as much as what we look after our physical man, our intellectual man. And it's through the renewing of our mind that we are then able to take on that perspective from a Jesus perspective and not from mankind perspective only, as we evolve, as we develop. So Jesus wants us to be transformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And we can only do that by studying God's word, allowing his word to be renewed in our minds so that we can understand who we are in Christ Jesus, and then understanding my purpose in terms of relationship with God and how Jesus fulfilled that when he came, so that we do not have to suffer through persecution and the trials and temptations that we experience on this earth, but also putting our hope in Christ Jesus, for he is our strength, our hope, and our salvation. And I think for me, that's how I look at this perspective of our needs. Beautiful Angelina, thank you.
I love what you were talking now, Shanaz, when you highlighted that every stage of our life is a different stage of growing and there's a different need. And parents, you have a responsibility for your children from birth up until they leave home, on nurturing them on the needs they need. And you need to help them on what they need and what they don't need. Because when we look at what is happening out here in the world in this current day and age, many, many institutions globally are telling our children what they think they need. And the parents are losing their rights in dictating to their children what the Word of God says they need. An example I want to bring out is when you look at the Maslow hierarchy of needs, right at the basic needs, it's food, clothing, shelter, and sex. In the Word of God, sex is not a need, a basic human need. If you don't have it, you don't die. Whatever age, if you don't have it, you're not going to die. And parents, please, as the age is getting darker, the generations are getting darker, you have to help your children align their needs in line with the Word of God so that they follow the pattern of God's Word and not get consumed and let a want, which only happens in marriage, become a survival need before marriage. Because sex before marriage is not according to the Word of God, and it is not a need. You will die if you don't have it. Let us not allow the world's basic standards of what needs are to dictate to us what we need. The Word of God is the standard. And so the reason God gives us what we need and not what we want, He knows what is good for us. Parents, don't follow the pattern of the world and say cohabiting is normal in this day and age, so I'm going to allow my child to cohabit before marriage. Or everybody's having this new way of gender identity, so I'm going to let my children follow that because apparently that's what they need. No, they don't need that. They need the Word of God standards. I don't know if anyone wants to add to what I've just said.
It's true, Angelina, what you just said right now. It's very important that as children of God, we must not compare ourselves or live according to the standard of this world. We need to know that we are called as children of God. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. So we are not the citizen of this world. So whatever the citizen of this world they are doing, whatever principles they are living under the Constitution, those things for us, if they clash with the Word of God, we cannot follow them. And it doesn't matter the peer pressure that is coming over us as adults, young people, everyone. We need to put God first and understand the standard of God of living. So it's very important for us to know that everything that we need, it's in Him. Everything that we desire, it's in Him. If it's not approved by Him through His Holy Spirit in your heart, you feel it that this thing that I want is not of God. So you can't continue to pursue it. God doesn't deny us, you know, the goodness of the earth. He said the righteous people will eat the fruit of the earth. Here in this world, God wants us to live a lavish life. If you love beautiful things, especially like me, you love beautiful clothes, you know, you love beautiful hairstyle, you love everything beautiful. God doesn't have a problem with that. But those things, they cannot take the time of God. They cannot make you not to do things the God's way. It's like if I don't have a new dress, I can't go to church just because I love clothes. That it shows that now there's a problem between the love of those things that you think you need and the love of God. So God must come first at all times. If you find yourself that you can afford new shoes, as us ladies love shoes, this is a month of ladies and we love shoes. But if I don't have money to buy new shoes, it must not make me my heart now to be heavy. I can't even go to the party where I'm invited because I don't have. Then it will be a challenge. But what we need to understand that in all the desires that we have, it is only God that will meet our heart desires. And He exactly knows what we love because He's the one that created us. He has put those desires in us. But sometimes because of we covet things, we attract the lust. Those desires, they turn into a lust. So God is saying unto us, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, is the things that we need to avoid at all costs. beautiful things. If you see them with your eyes, they are beautiful. But let us not allow those things to consume us as children of God. We know that our Father wants the best for us, but we cannot try to find those things by ourselves. We need to know that He is the creator of the universe. Silver and gold belongs to Him, and He is God that wants to bless us. He's saying in His word, if me as God, you as parents, when your kids, they are asking for bread, you don't give them stones. If they are asking for fish, you don't give them snakes. So even Him as our Father, He won't hold anything that is good from us. He will give it unto us. But we need to check our motives, and we need to check our hearts at all times. Thank you, Angelina.
Thank you, wonderful Nelly. Myrtle, in adding to what the beautiful ladies are saying today, is there an expiry date on needs and wants?
You know, Angelina, I was reading in the Bible, there are times and seasons for everything. My need is still found in Christ, my Savior. My want is worldly and temporary, but my need is eternal life in Christ. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3, from verse 1 to 8, to every thing there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to tear, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time of peace. This is the needs we have to have. You must always listen to the spirit man and don't look to your circumstances. Leave selfishness behind you. Learn that only God can meet your needs and not the world. Long to trust God with all your life. That's how I feel is the need in my life.
I absolutely love what you're saying, and I think I'm going to ask the other ladies to elaborate on that. What Myrtle used is so profound, because we will be content when we know what the time is. When we know the times and seasons for our lives, we become content. If it is a season to let go, we get content to not want. If it is a season for wanting, God will put that desire and we will get it without coveting. I absolutely love that. That is a good way of actually measuring when do I want it and when is it a need. Because if it is not a time, I cannot put a demand on it. I will not enjoy it. Thoughts on that, Shanaz?
Thank you, beautiful Angelina. Wow, beautiful model. That was put so excellently. And I think what we have to also consider is only through the Holy Spirit will He give us discernment for when it's a need and when it's a want. And as you're saying, beautiful Angelina, when we need to let go of something, because it's through the Holy Spirit's discernment that we will be able to understand when it's a time to hold on and when it's a time to let go. And we can only come to that level of discernment through our relationship with Abba Father. If we don't make that a priority, we will never be able to discern the time that we need to let go or to hold on. And we will always be in this toil to continuously work in our natural carnal man towards striving for that peaceful perfection that we want to achieve in our own natural state as a man. And if we are not able to get understanding of who Abba Father is and why He's created me through the Word of God, I will constantly be toiling and toiling and toiling away, and it will just be fruitful. Haggai 1 verse 6 says, "Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes." And here the prophet Haggai is telling us that if we constantly going to live a life of fruitless toil, exactly as beautiful Myrtle said now, that when we do not understand the times, we will constantly be found in this vicious circle going round and round, thinking that what we're chasing, we will attain, satisfying our needs and our wants, but yet we will never be able to accomplish it because we do not understand the time and the seasons that God is taking us through, and therefore we're not able to apply the correct thinking in the situation that we are experiencing, because we are not aligning our will with Abba Father's will, because we are constantly first chasing our own will as a vanity man. And so when we say, "Father, your will be done," then we will be able to understand the time and the season that we're going through. Then we will be able to understand, like the prophet says, that we will see now the fruit and the reward of what we are doing, because no longer will our labor be in vain, because we have aligned our will with Abba Father's will. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Nelly, you want to add to what these women are taking us through? I'm just getting even more happy as we go along.
Thank you, Angelina. To beautiful sisters, Medal and Shinaz, what you are saying, it's very crucial. You know, when we read the scripture in the book of 1 Chronicles 12:32, it's talking about the specific sons of Issachar. You know, they had an unusual gift to discern the times. So they were loved by the king because these guys, they understood what time is it. So it's very important that as children of God, we must have the spirit of discernment so that we don't find ourselves getting frustrated in a space that we are in right now. We're not going to find ourselves fighting with God unnecessarily because we just want those things now. You know, we've got the wants, we've got the needs now. But we will understand the time as Myrtle was busy reading, you know, the seasons, that there's time for this, there's time for that. Most of the time we become so deceived as Christians that we think that everything in our lives, it must always be good. You know, working with God, we think we must be always in the mood where we receive. But there will be time of scarcity. There will be time where we will find ourselves in the wilderness. And God is promising us that when you are in the wilderness, I will be with you. Now it is the time for you to understand that it is your season to be in the wilderness. So when you are passing through that valley of Baca, Turn it to be in a spring of waters. Don't just lie there and cry there and feeling sorry for yourself, feeling that everybody doesn't love you, even God has abandoned you. It is time for you to discern that, I'm in a time where God is dealing with me. God has put me in a cocoon. Let me be in there. Let me allow him to bake me again. Let me allow him to rejuvenate me so that when I come out as a best person. But as we want to fly in season and out of season, in winter, we still want to be in spring. In spring, we still want to be in winter. You know, we are like our lives are not in order, because if it's winter, you can't take a bathing suit and go and stand outside and say, "No, me, I hate winter. I want to be in summer." You are going to die and we're going to bury you. So we need to accept that when the Bible is teaching us, as Moodle was reading everything, that when it's time to cry, you have to cry. You cannot try to make yourself say, me, I don't like crying. I don't care what's happening. I just want to be happy. It's time to cry, cry. And when it's time for you to rejoice, rejoice. When it's time for you to pray, pray. Everything when it is time, just walk with the time. Because you've got the spirit of discernment and understanding what God is doing in this season. Thank you, Angelina.
Absolutely deep, deep, deep. As we get to a conclusion of what women want and what women need, I'm hearing today by our panel speakers that we need to discern the times and the seasons that God has set forth for us. When we discern those times and seasons, we will appreciate the wants and we will understand the needs. And so as we close today, I'll start with Myrtle. Can you please minister and pray and give a word of encouragement to our Gospel for Grampian women and young girls out there about discerning the times and seasons? And then we're going to pass on to Shanaz and then over to Nelly.
Discerning the times and the seasons. You know, Angelina, God give us discernment to see what's going on for the times and the seasons. Like I was reading just now in the Bible, there's a time for mourning. There's a time for reaping and sowing. And, you know, if we're not in the perfect timing of God, and we're out of timing, we're not in His perfect will. So then we can't prosper. We can't prosper out of His will. So Gospel for Grampian ladies, let me tell you, I'm at an age that I'm really discerning times, that I look up to God when I need something. I'd rather go to God than to the world. For I have to discern what God wants from me than what the world wants from me. The things of the world is not for me, it's not everything in my life. I need God at this stage of my life. So the worldly stuff for me is nothing. My timing is with God and His will. Thank you, Angelina.
As we're hearing Myrtle say, she knows her timing and therefore she has fulfillment in the place that she's at now. So we're asking you, Gospel for Grampian listeners today, take Ecclesiastics, ask the Lord to show you what is your time and your season. And God's word of showing us will always be in line with His word. He will not tell you it's a time for intimacy and love when you are an early adult, outside marriage, and don't know your identity. Everything God tells you is in line with His word. Please encourage us, beautiful Shanaz.
To the listeners today, I want to encourage you that you make God your first priority. It's only in establishing who you are in Christ will you come to a place where you are able to discern the times and the seasons so that you do not land up frustrating yourself or others through the process as God is busy developing you. It's only through relationship with Abba Father that you are able to deal with those insecurities that you are sitting with. It's only through relationship with Abba Father that you can find restoration and peace of mind. Many of you are sitting with a mind, it's like a whirlwind. Abba Father showing me it's like a whirlwind. There's this storm raging within your mind because you're not understanding the season you're in. And the more you battle in this whirlwind, the more you're getting lost in the chaos, in the confusion. And as a result of that, it's causing destruction not only in your life, but in the lives of those closest to you. So I want to make a call to you this evening. Heed to the Spirit of God. Submit unto God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. And in resisting the devil, as you submit to God, God will reveal the time and the season that you find yourself in. Be anxious in nothing, but in through prayer and supplication unto God, present yourself, and Abba Father will show you the time and the season you're in. He will direct your footsteps. He will never leave you, nor will he forsake you. Thank you, beautiful Angelina.
Thank you. Can you, my beautiful Nelly, close and say goodbye on behalf of Work on Air?
Thank you, Angelina. I pray to God that my listeners, as we are about to close, may God give you the spirit of discernment so that you can discern the chronological time and understand the spiritual and the political time you are living in. Understanding the people that are around you, the relationships that you are having, because sometimes we hang on to relationships where God says the time is up. Because some people, they come in your life for a specific reason, for a specific period. So may the Lord help us, especially as ladies, because we've got a tendency of holding on even to things where God say, my glory is no longer there, but we still want to hold on. So I pray that may the Lord give you the spirit of discernment so that you can let go where God says it is done. Let it be done. I pray that may the Lord continue to bless you and keep you and give you wisdom to do whatever you need to do for his glory. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. In this 2023, let the Lord do a miracle in your life. May he come through for you in all your troubles. May the Lord show himself to you as a faithful Redeemer, as a faithful Father that loves us, that will never leave us nor forsake us. In the name of Jesus, we love you. May the good Lord bless you. Amen.
Amen. Goodbye, Gospel for Grampian listeners.